Hey everyone, welcome to a very abbreviated edition of the Student Loan Planner podcast. I'm getting back from vacation, so I just wanted to get this out very quickly to you and give you an interesting thought to chew on. Think about the after-tax cost in minutes, hours, days, weeks, months of anything that you want to buy, given the new student loan rules that exist in terms of income-driven repayment. So if we think about the IBR programs, the IBR programs take 10 to 15% of your income based off of your prior year AGI for a set period, 10 to 30 years, depending on what program you are on, if you're on PSLF forgiveness, or even if you're paying your loans back. That's a little bit different analysis, right? Because then it's not really income-driven anymore. You're just paying the debt back. But if you're on any income-driven plan whatsoever, you are losing 10 to 15% of your income in paying your loans back. Now, what that does is it increases the value of being able to deduct things in your taxes to lower the actual cost of doing certain things, such as, you know, if you can buy a car, if you want to buy a car, it's a lot cheaper if you can figure out a way to run that car expense through your business, possibly through to a section or bonus depreciation, you know, if you're able to run leases through your business, et cetera. So these kinds of things, it matters a big deal if your tax rate is in the 50 or 60% range, which if you count IDR, it really pretty much is. So think about if you're 32% federal, maybe you're making more than $400K as a couple, maybe you're in 5 to 7% state, so you're already at 40. Now add 10 to 15% for income-driven repayment, now you're at 50 to 55. So if you think about, you know, what is the cost of buying, let's say, a brand new luxury SUV, let's say it's $75,000 or so. If you are in a 55% tax bracket and you're not deducting that on your taxes, that $75K actually costs you more like $160,000 to $165,000 of pre-tax income. So even if you're making, you know, let's say $500,000 a year, that after-tax expense, or pre-tax expense, I should say, right? Because we're talking in terms of pre-tax dollars it takes to buy the $75K SUV, that is taking up about a third of your yearly earnings. And basically about 4 months you're spending going into work to buy that thing. Maybe that's your car person. Maybe that's what you enjoy. That's okay. That's totally fine if you are in love with the idea of driving a really nice luxury SUV. But sometimes it's worthwhile to reflect on, what do you enjoy? If you love your job, if you like your job, great. If you're a car person, great. Go buy that luxury SUV. What would be better is if you were a practice owner, if you were able to write that off through your practice, use bonus depreciation, you know, make that a business expense, working with a qualified CPA to do so, that would make that thing you'd like to buy a lot more affordable, right? But, you know, if you don't like your job, or if you're a little burned out, or if you wish you could cut back your hours, then numbing the pain through buying the expensive luxury SUV is not going to help anything. Because of your high tax rate, it's taking you a lot longer at work to go buy the thing that you are buying to numb the pain of the job that you don't like. And I'm not saying that this is your situation. I'm just saying that, you know, usually things ran the gamut of, I love my job, I would do this until I'm 90, to I want to retire tomorrow, but most people fall somewhere in between. And when you're falling somewhere in between, it's helpful to think about things that you buy in terms of, you know, how much time you're trading to buy that thing. Again, and maybe if you're already at the point of financial independence, maybe that additional cost of buying that thing is sort of, you know, irrelevant because you'd be working and earning money anyway because you like what you do well enough to continue doing it even though you don't have to do it anymore. So there's really different calculations into, you know, how much does your time, how much of your time do you have to trade to do something, right? Once you've reached your FI number, whatever that is, 2 million, 3 million, 5 million, 10 million, whatever that is, every additional dollar you earn above that could be spent really on anything without having to think of a time trade-off because you don't really need to work, but you're just doing it because you enjoy it. That's kind of my big idea to just sort of chew on and think about. We use a life value calculator with SLP Wealth to help people think through big purchases, to think through how much of my time at work is this going to take me to buy, right? This kitchen renovation I want to do, you know, how many months of my life energy am I trading at work to buy this thing that I want to use and enjoy? Now, maybe that's a great trade. Maybe you're going to use that kitchen for 15 to 20 years and you're going to get a ton of enjoyment out of it because you love to cook, you love family memories, you love your job, you want to do your job, it gives you joy. But the thing is sometimes people renovate the kitchen because they have a hole in their heart from the stress of everything that they're going through, and then they stay in the house for 1 to 3 years, and then they try to buy a different house, and then that ends up costing them years longer on their retirement date. So whenever you're thinking about a big financial choice, remember that you're in control. Think about, is there a way to make this tax deductible to lower the cost of the time you have to spend to get the dollars to buy the thing that you want to buy? Think through, how can I temporarily do things that max out pre-tax accounts, or you know, do certain things that recognize that the 10 to 15% hit on your income you're taking from income-driven repayment usually is temporary, be it for 10, 20, or 30 years. You know, what can you do to shift income into tax-deferred accounts to protect yourself while you're in this much higher tax bracket, right? Like maxing out your pre-tax accounts, for example, HSAs, et cetera. You know, as we enter this period of some borrowers being required to pay for much longer, I would predict that in some ways, taking the risk of being your own boss or being a partner or being a 1099 contractor or something where you have some control over your tax situation is going to pay more dividends, not less, because if you're going to be stuck paying 10% of your income for 30 years, having strategies and ways of avoiding, you know, having them take 10% of whatever W-2 income you're earning, I think would be great if that's an opportunity available to you. And if it's not, that's totally okay. You can avoid most every financial struggle that I've seen by simply paying attention to your housing expenses and your car expenses. By avoiding big mistakes of those two, you can have way less stress, way more calm in your life, not be stressed financially, not be strapped or worried, and make lots of progress towards exactly where you want to be financially. So I would love to hear your questions, whatever is on your mind right now. If you want to ask, go to studentloanplanner.com/voicemail. Ask away. We do have much better consult availability now. So if you need to get a student loan consult, go to studentloanplanner.com/book. And that's pretty much all for now. We're noticing them to slowly roll out some more updates on their recently passed OBBB Act. We're seeing some stuff about the removal of partial financial hardship requirements and IBR. That's showing up on the Student Aid website, which is good to see. But we expect this is going to take some time. And we also saw there was some recent rules that came out about PSLF eligibility, where, as expected, the administration is trying to, you know, limit PSLF eligibility to block institutions or employers, nonprofit employers that they don't agree with. And so we're going to be following through. And what they would say is, you know, the definition they said was, you know, employers that have committed illegal acts, basically. So that's going to be litigated. That's going to be battled over in the courts. We'll keep you updated on those things. For now, ask away if you have any questions on student loan stuff, studentloanplanner.com/voicemail. And thank you so much for listening to the Student Loan Planner podcast. Are you on the free Student Loan Planner email list? If yes, you can upgrade your experience and discover student loan loopholes so good they might get repealed if I talk about them publicly. Find out my very best thought leadership that I really just can't be super open about anymore, unfortunately. If you want to get our very best tips, not just the ones that I can share for free, go to studentloanplanner.com/insider. to get a special discount for your year membership. That's studentloanplanner.com/insider and get our very best dozens of bonus content and tips that's going to save you money and get you out of student debt faster. And if you're already an SLP insider, please reply back to those emails and let me know how I can make it even more valuable.